This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
Hallelujah. Amen. So for the topic today, the sermon title for today is what I have titled, The Uniqueness of Christ in Glory. The Uniqueness of Christ in Glory. Our scripture of the month is taken from Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 19. Isaiah 43 and verse 19. It says, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." In our text, there are a few key words that I want you to note. The first one is, the first set of keywords is a new thing. Somebody say a new thing. God has never said anything that he's not able to do. If he says, "I will do a new thing," that is exactly what he's going to do. And my prayer for you is that from here going out, you begin to experience the newness of the Lord in the mighty name of Jesus. So it says, a new thing, a new thing. He said, that new thing will spring forth and you will know it. He said, and I will make a way. Somebody say, a way. I will make a way. A way. Is making a way because he is the way. The Bible says in John chapter 14 and verse 6, he said, Jesus Christ is the way. He said himself, he said, I am the way, I am the life, and I am the truth. He's the way. So there are many ways, but there is only one true way. In fact, when you read the record of the apostles in the book of Acts, when they talk about their faith, they called it the way. The way. You say, I have preached in this way. I have talked about the way. Jesus is the way. So this scripture that you are seeing right here is actually telling us about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says, I will do a new thing. In the scriptures, it is not uncommon for God to do new things. Amen? When the children of Israel were in Egypt, the Bible talks about the plagues. There were 10 plagues in Egypt. And one of the plagues that that intrigues me the most is the plague, the seventh plague in Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14, when you read Exodus chapter 14, talking about Exodus chapter 9, I'm sorry. In Exodus chapter 9, verse 24, the Bible says there was hail, and hail mingled with hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt, since it became a nation. What is the scripture saying? The Bible is saying to you and I that this plague was a new thing that had never been seen before. You think about this. What the scripture is saying is that there was hail. How many of us remember a few months ago there was hail, bad hail in San Antonio? Can you imagine hail mingled with fire? The fire did not melt the hail, and the hail did not quench the fire. God did a new thing. God did a new thing. He did all of that to deliver his people from the oppression of the enemy. God will do a new thing in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus. And part of the consequence of the new thing that God does is that it will deliver his people. Hallelujah. He says, I will do a new thing. I will do a new thing. In Exodus chapter 14, the Bible says God parted the sea. Think about it. If you have swum in the river before, and you get to the river bed, how is it? Muddy, murky, is disgusting. So how do you imagine over a million people walking across the sea? Not only did God separate the sea, the Bible says he congealed the ground of the sea and they walked on dry land. They walked on dry land. It was a new thing never seen before. God is an expert at doing new things. I don't care what you have known about God. God will do something new in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus. So God parted the sea. And the children of Israel, they walked on dry land. And then imagine them in the wilderness. In the wilderness. What kind of kitchen, Sister Betty, tell me. What kind of kitchen can serve let's say 1 million, 1 million people in the desert for 40 years. Imagine the scheduling of your waiters and the people that will wait on them serving the food alone. Imagine the amount of food that is required to feed 1 million people in one day. And then 1 million people in 365 days. And then 1 million people in 365 days times 40. And they were not hungry one day.
Once a day.
Enough to last them the whole day. They said, don't keep it till the next day. Amen? And when the food began to drop from heaven, even the people themselves were surprised. You know, they said, what is this? That is manna. Whatness. That's the meaning of manna. Whatness. Say, what is this? It was a strange thing. They had never seen anything like that before. God will begin to do things in your life that you yourself will begin to say, what is this? In the name of Jesus. The bakery of heaven was opened to the children of God. God will open his good treasures unto somebody here today, and your testimony will be that the Lord is good. Amen? The Lord is good. Amen? The Lord is good. You will experience the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living in the name of Jesus. So God in time past had done new things. New things. And then Isaiah came around and said he will even do a new thing. He will make a way in the wilderness and he will make rivers in the desert. If you are a student of the Bible, you know, there are questions that must run through your mind when you read things. You know, because Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 9, please pull it up. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 9 says something that you'll be like, okay, what should I make of this? He said, the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. He said, so what do we believe? He said, I will do a new thing. He said, there's nothing new under the sun. One of the things I want you to understand about the language of Scripture is that I was telling the class I was teaching this morning, when God shows you something you have never seen before, think about it, Priscilla. You had a dream. In your dream, don't worry, nobody knows who you are. You are the only one blushing. Except your peeps. You know, in a dream, God shows you something you have never seen before. Something that does not exist anywhere as far as you know. And you saw this thing in a dream. And you want to tell it to Ikechi that this is what I saw. How do you describe it? It doesn't exist. You have never seen it before. You are going to describe it by the things that you already know. There was somebody that got on the elevator for the first time. And when she got home and she was going to tell the story, she said, we got to this place, the wall just opened. Say, and we entered the room. And the room began to take us up. We were going higher and higher and higher and higher. Because it was a new experience. It was a new experience. So when the prophet was saying God will do a new thing, he was saying so many things that he himself did not fully understand. Because already in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, he told us, he said, a virgin shall be with a child. And in chapter 43, he said God will do a new thing. He was still talking about the same thing, but he did not know it. Amen. And then in 53, he said he was bruised, he was chastised, he was all of these things. There was no form of comeliness to him. By his stripes we were made whole, and all of these things. He was saying it, but he himself did not fully grasp what he was talking about. When God said, I will do a new thing, it was a revelation about Jesus coming. Amen? Amen. It was a revelation about Jesus coming. So when Solomon was writing that there is nothing new under the sun, he was not lying, because he was saying that Jesus already exists and we just don't know him yet. Wow. Hallelujah. He's already there. He was there before the foundations of the earth. He made the world. So when he said there is nothing new, he knew what he was talking about. Because he himself did not fully understand what he was saying, but the meaning and the implication of it is Jesus is already alive. He has just not been revealed unto us just yet. Amen? So, when Jesus came, the newness came. And that is why any life that is in Christ is a new creature. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away, and all things have become new. All things have become new. He has made all things new. In Revelation, it tells us, behold, I make all things new in Christ. Outside Christ, everything remains old. Outside Christ, everything remains sin. Outside Christ, everything remains gaga. A life without Christ is a life that is already in crisis. Hallelujah. So when Jesus came, he established that scripture that Isaiah was talking about. Hallelujah. So today, the realities of the scripture, our scripture of the month, that is fulfilled in Christ Jesus, talks about the uniqueness of Christ. And that is what I want to talk about today. I'm going to talk about five things about the uniqueness of Christ, and then we will conclude with what must your response be to this uniqueness of Christ that is revealed to you today. So let's dig in. Number one, talking about the uniqueness of Christ, his birth is what is called the virgin birth. Never in the history of the world, before and after, has there been a child that was born by a virgin. Never. Never since then till date has there been a child that was born without the participation of a male figure. Hallelujah. Even in vitro fertilization, a man is acting in absentia. Because you cannot fertilize the egg without the man producing the stuff to the seed to fertilize it. But with Jesus, it was completely unique, never existed, never happened before, neither before nor afterwards. Talking about the virgin birth, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, the Bible says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. God with us. You know, what God did was short of him putting Jesus in a basket and lowering him to the earth. That would be magic. And God doesn't do magic. That is why Jesus had to come packaged the way he came packaged. So that you and I can relate with the humanity of Christ. Because if he just showed up, if he just came from heaven and he came as Jesus, and he begins to do things, and he's telling you he's touched by your feelings of infirmity, then you can't feel what I feel, what I'm feeling. You are God. It's like an angel telling you, I understand. He said, Mr. Angel, you cannot understand. He said, but I do. He said, you can't. That is why Jesus came the way he came. He came packaged in the womb of a woman with no participation of a man, all by God. He put everything together. That is telling you one thing. The blood that flows in the veins of Jesus is not the same ugly blood that used to flow in our veins. I say used to, because if you are in Christ, you have that blood. The blood of Jesus is what is flowing through me. The blood of Jesus is what is flowing through you. That is why you are my sister. I am your brother. We are one in Christ. Why? Because the same blood flows through us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If they do a genetic testing, spiritual now, they do spiritual genetic testing, you and I should test the same positive for DNA. 99% accurate. If you are born again. If. Big if. I believe she is. So we will match. Hallelujah. Christ is unique. All others that came before and after him did not have this uniqueness. There are many people that have started great religions. Muhammad came. He started a religion. But his bath was like the bath of any other man. Confucius, Hare Krishna, name them. Whoever they are, they were born like everybody, like you and I. And therefore, they cannot save. Amen?
Amen.
Their blood is no different from the blood of bulls and goats and cattle and chicken and dove. But the blood of Jesus. Somebody say the blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus. The Bible says, he that knew no sin became sin for us. Amen? His sinless blood was shed for you and was shed for me. And that is why we are saved today. Glory, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen.
Number two, talking about the uniqueness of Christ. The uniqueness of Christ. Christ is God incarnate. Amen?
Amen.
Christ is God incarnate. Is God putting on flesh and walking and living amongst us. The Bible tells us in John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And in verse 14, he said the same became flesh. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. Jesus is God incarnate. God taking on flesh and living amongst us. That is why he is the only one that can fully pay the price for our sins.
Hallelujah.
And he has done that. And that is why we have victory today.
Amen.
That is why we don't pray from victory. We don't pray for victory. We pray from victory. Why? Because he has overcome death. The Bible says he has taken victory, he's had victory over death. He has conquered the grave. He has conquered death. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Brethren, I believe very sincerely in my heart, the reason many of us in the body of Christ are still one leg in and one leg out is because we do not know in whom we have believed. Amen?
Amen.
Because I do not know in whom I have believed. The Jesus that we are talking about is not like Muhammad. The Jesus that we are talking about is not a great philosopher. In fact, I love what C.S. Lewis said about Jesus. I don't have the quote right now, but paraphrase. He said, you cannot call Jesus a great teacher or a great philosopher. He said, it would be ludicrous of you to call him that. Because the kind of things he said and did, for you to call such a person a great teacher, it will be foolishness. He said, you can either call him mad, crazy, or you believe in him for what he said he is. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus is God incarnate. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 to 8. Philippians 2, 6 to 8. He said, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. So what happened at Calvary is God himself, listen to this, everybody listen up, God himself came and died for us. In most religions, any other religion, their adherents are called to die for them. That's why some people are blowing themselves up today. They are terrorists. They call themselves jihadists. And they will wire themselves with explosives and go kill themselves, believing they are doing something for their God. But your God came on earth and he laid his life down for you. He died. He did not say, you come and die. He said, I will come and I will die. He said, I laid my life down for you. He said, no man took it from me, but I laid down my life. He laid down his life for you. And he did not just lay just to die for nothing's sake. He died that you may live. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He came. He lived. He walked. He suffered like you will suffer. He suffered deprivation like you are suffering deprivation right now. And then at the end of it all, he went to the cross and he gave his life for you. He said, there is nothing more than a friend can do for his friend than for a friend to lay down his life for his friend. I'm not sure I have any friend I would die for. I mean, I would do a lot of things for them. You know, but I ain't going to die for nobody. You know, even my death cannot save you. So why should I die? It's just wasted. I just die for nothing. Because my blood cannot save you. So why? You know, so I pray for you. I pray for you. I pray for you. If you insist you want to die, I say, okay. The only one that could do it, he did it. He said, you were worth it. He said, you were worth it. He said, you were worth it. He did not consider it too much. He came and he did exactly that. Hallelujah. You know, Philip asked him a question in John chapter 14 and verse 8. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said to him, said, Philip, have I been with you so long that you do not know me? Because if you know me, you will not be asking for the Father. Do you know the church today is like Philip? We are looking for all manner of solutions, and we have Jesus. For many people, it's Jesus plus. For a lot of people, it's Jesus and, but all you need is in him. In him is hope, a living hope. In him is prosperity. In him is life. In him is the wife you are looking for. Some people, they are looking everywhere. Is she the one? No, she's married. Stop looking. They are looking everywhere. Everything you desire is in him. Is in him. In Christ. In Christ. Number three, we're talking about the uniqueness of Christ. Number one, we talked about the virgin birth. Number two, his God incarnate. Number three, his doctrine was uniquely different. A doctrine is a system of belief. A system of teaching. In Mark chapter 1, verse 27, listen. In Mark 1, 27, the Bible says, and they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned amongst themselves, saying, What is this thing? What new doctrine is this? The way he spoke, he did not speak like the other prophets they were used to. He spoke with so much authority, commanding, that they were like, what kind of man is this? In fact, at the time, the people that knew him, they said, is this not the son of Joseph the carpenter? And some others said, is this not the carpenter? Because they knew him. You know, at the time they needed to do chair. You know, Jesus was the one the father told, you go make the chair. So he made them an expert designer chair that they had never seen before. Say, is this not the carpenter? Where did he get such authority from? He had a different doctrine, a unique doctrine. Amen? Amen. He said, for with authority commanded he even the unclean spirit, and they obey him. Do you know, even his disciples, they wondered at him sometimes. There was a time they were at sea, and there was storm at sea, and Jesus was sleeping, and they woke him up and said, Master, care not thou that we perish? They were afraid. You are just going to let us die like that? He woke up, he looked at them. Oh, ye of little faith. He said, how long will I be with you? The Bible says he rose up and he spoke to the wind. He said, calm, peace. And there was calm and there was peace. Even his disciples, this is not the enemies now. His own disciples said, what kind of man is this? Even the wind obey him. Unique in doctrine. Unique in doctrine. Amen? What were some of the things he taught? Jesus had a different message from what the people were accustomed to. And he spoke with authority. Jesus was the one that came and introduced God to us as a father. Amen? In Matthew chapter 11, verse 27, Matthew 11, 27, he said, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. In Luke 2:49, when they had gone to Jerusalem and the family had gone back home and they had left him behind, and then they came back seeking him, when they found him, he said, we have been worried and we have been looking for you. In verse 49b, he says, how come you're looking for me? What's wrong with you people? Don't you know that I will be about my Father's business? And they're like, this is sacrilege. How do you call God your daddy? How do you call God your Father? In John 5:43, he said, I come in my Father's name. John 10:30, he said, I and my Father are one. This mesmerized the religious people. Can I tell you something today? There are still a lot of religious minds in the church. Many people today that cannot grasp the finished work of Calvary. Many people today that still believe that that's why we teach on the assurance of salvation. Many people are not assured of their salvation. Hallelujah. The Bible says we have been justified. Justified is, it means you did wrong. You were wrong. But God, by the blood of Jesus, has justified you. He said, it's okay, I got your back. It's okay, I got your back. It's okay, I got your back. You know, there's a story during the Civil War in America, when they were conscripting people into the army, one of the things they allowed back then was they allowed them to say, they conscript me now. I said, no, I can't go to war. I still have this sweet baby to enjoy. So I ain't going to war. They allowed you to pay somebody to go on your behalf. So I said, here is $50,000. Bafo, will you go for me? It's Ember. I don't think I would do that. But there was this guy, listen to this. There was this guy, he paid somebody money to go for him. So the guy went to war and he died at war. You know, and you know, they have a list. So when they were coming around again, they came around and they picked this guy again. He said he should go back to war. He said, no, you are talking to a dead man. Because you sent me before. The one I sent, he died in battle. I can't go again. But you are talking to a dead man. That is your story. When Satan comes to accuse you, you let Satan know you are talking to a dead man. Because Jesus already paid for me. Jesus already died for me. Jesus already went to battle. He went to war on my behalf. And he has won the victory on my behalf. And now I am saved in Christ Jesus. Can somebody shout a loud hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Saved by grace. Saved by grace. Don't mess it up. And don't let anybody mess with you. Hallelujah. The scribes and the Pharisees, they were mad at him. You know why? He called them out on many fronts. He was bold. He was bold. He didn't care whose ox was God. All he cared about was the message the Father has given him. Hallelujah. He said, I and my Father, we are one. Amen. So that message was the only thing that was important. He told the... Oh, boy. The way he spoke to the Pharisees, even me, when I read scripture, I feel sorry for the Pharisees. On one occasion, he looked at them, he called them hypocrites. On another occasion, he called them fools. On another occasion, he said, you are whitewashed sepulchres. In sepulchre, he said, within you, it is just dead men's bones inside of you. And he didn't say a secret. He didn't say, oh, by the way, you are a fool. No. It was in the open, in the synagogue. He said, ye fools, ye hypocrites. He called them out. He had a different message that they could not understand. In Matthew, when you read Matthew chapter 5, he talked about, he said, you have heard it said before, but now I say. You have heard it said before, but now I say. He brought a new doctrine, and the people were amazed. The doctrine he has brought to you and to myself is one of hope, one of liberty in Christ Jesus. Do not let sin rob you of what God has freely given to you. Hallelujah. Jesus spoke. There was a man, I'm sure you know the story very well, in Mark chapter 2, the paralytic. The Bible says Jesus was in the house teaching. He was healing the sick. And these guys wanted to take their friends in, but the whole place was blocked. The doors were blocked. The windows, people were everywhere. These guys climbed to the roof. They removed the roof and dumped their friend inside. They said, this guy must be saved today. This guy must be saved today. So they dunked him into the room, and Jesus was amazed at their faith. Amen?
Amen.
And he said to him, he said, your sins are forgiven you. The Pharisees were like, what kind of blasphemy is this? Who can forgive sin but God? And they were right. The only one that can forgive sin is God. And guess what? The one that was speaking is God. That's the part that they didn't know. And that is why even now he has said concerning you before. He said, whosoever sin you retain, it shall be retained. Whosoever sin you forgive, it shall be forgiven them. You know why? Because ye are gods. If I be in Christ, amen, I am like him. If he is God, I am God. The Bible says we are joint heirs with him. We are sons of God. When the Bible says he's the Lord of lords, which are the lords you think he's talking about? It's you and I. He's the Lord, capital L, of lords. That's you and I. Is the King of Kings, capital K, and the lowercase K, is talking about you and I. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He said, whosoever sin you retain is retained to them. Whosoever sin you forgive is forgiven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Pharisees could not wrap this around their head. And in Luke chapter 4, verse 32, Luke 4, 32, the Bible says, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Listen to me. Everybody look up. It says, his word was with power. Jasper, His word has come to you with power today. Amen. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I said the word of the Lord is come to you with power today.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
He mesmerized them and they were astonished. Number four, I'll take four and five very quickly. Bless you. The demonstration of his power. We're talking about the uniqueness of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Number one, we talked about what?
His birth
was virgin birth. Number two,
incarnate God.
Number three, a unique doctrine. Number four, the demonstration of his power was unique. Unique. In Mark chapter 7, verse 37, the Bible says, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. Somebody say, all things. Friends, I believe this is a season of all things for you.
Amen.
He says, he has done all things well. If I be in Christ, Christ has done all things well for me. Can you say that about yourself? If I be in Christ, Christ has done all things well for me. Listen, it says, he maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Everything in your life that is out of order, I speak order to it right now. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
I declare as a servant of God, I declare that God, Jesus, will make all things well with you.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
All will be well. I say all will be well.
Amen.
I say all will be well.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
The Bible says in John chapter 9, listen to this. It said a man that was born blind received his sight. And everybody argued. They said, no, it's not possible. It's not possible. So the leaders and the scribes, they began to investigate. They kept asking the man questions. Are you sure he healed you? He said, yes, I told you before. I told you before you didn't believe. Why? You're asking me again. He said, if I tell you, will you believe? Go and read it in chapter 9. He said, you already asked me. I already told you. I was blind. And he has healed me. Now I see. And I told you exactly how he did it. He spat on the soil. He mixed it. He put it in my eye. He said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. I went, I washed, and now I see. And they didn't believe. And listen, in verse 32, John chapter 9, verse 32, they said, since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? The demonstration of his power was uniquely different. They said, we have never seen it like this before. So when we talk about God doing a new thing, he already did it in Christ.
Hallelujah.
He did it in Christ Jesus. In him, you see all the newness, all the new, everything brand new. Number five, his death and his resurrection. His death and his resurrection. Jesus told them in John chapter 2, verse 19, he said, you destroy this temple and I will raise it in 3 days. And they were like, do you know how long it took to build this temple? They did not know he was talking about his death and resurrection. Jesus spoke as one that knew why he came. Oh, of course, it's God. Well, did not know why he came. He knew the reason he came was to come and die. That was why he came. He didn't come to have pleasure and then demonstrate power. No, that's not why he came. He came to die for the sins of men. That is why even in the beginning before he was born, in Matthew chapter 1, the Bible says his name, he said, Joseph, don't be mad at your fiancé. She didn't mess around. She's still a virgin. She's still a virgin, by the way, but she's pregnant. He said, and the reason she's pregnant is because she's carrying the one that will deliver the people of their sin. He came, his mission was to come and to die. And not to remain dead, but to rise from the dead. And by his resurrection, he has given you life and eternal life. The Bible says, for as many as believe in him, he has given the power to become sons of God. You have eternal life. I have eternal life by reason of what he has done. His death and resurrection has earned us that. He died. He was buried. Matthew 27:57-61. Matthew 27:57-61. He was buried. It was not a secret thing. He was buried. And they put a rock at the entrance of the tomb where he was buried. So that, and then they put a stamp on it. Listen to me. In John, the Bible says when they went to the sepulchre, to the tomb, the angel had rolled the stone. Let me ask you a very, very important question this morning. Was the stone rolled for him to come out?
No.
No. The stone was rolled away as evidence for us to know what God has done. Evidence. Evidence. That as he said, he has risen. He said he will rise, and he has risen. So when they came and they looked into the tomb, guess what? The tomb was empty. The grave is empty. He is risen. He's alive. I say he's alive.
Amen.
I say he's alive.
Amen.
He is risen. Like he said, like he promised, he has risen. He has risen. Please rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. The big question this morning is, what must my response be to this resurrected Christ? What is supposed to be my reaction to this wonderful thing that he has done? Everybody, please pay attention now. He came, he lived, he died, and on the third day he resurrected to give you life. Your reaction, your response to this must be the reaction and the response of those early disciples. In Luke chapter 5, the Bible says in verse 11, and when they had brought their ship to land, they forsook all. Somebody say they forsook all. And followed him. The problem with the church today is we are forsaking some, but we are holding on to a whole lot more. I want you to bow your hearts this afternoon. This is a word from the Lord for you today. You want that newness. That newness is only in Christ Jesus. And you must be ready to forsake all. The Bible tells us about Paul the Apostle. He had an encounter with Jesus, like many of us have had encounters with him. One encounter transformed his life. He forsook all and followed him. And it is recorded today of Apostle Paul. Said by his hands, God wrought special miracles. God wrought special miracles. I want you to pray to the Lord this morning, this afternoon, and say, Father, in the name of Jesus,
I have heard your word.
I yield my life.
I yield my life
as a living sacrifice,
which is my reasonable service
unto you, in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and talk to him. Talk to him. Until you are totally surrendered, until you are totally forsaken all for his cause, you will not experience the newness. I must be fully surrendered. I must be totally surrendered. You must be totally surrendered to enjoy this newness, to enjoy the newness in the name of Jesus. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I forsake all for you. For your sake, I give up all things in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen.
I am done, but I have a word for somebody here today. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, when you get home, you can read it. It says, living sacrifice, our lives as living sacrifice, is our reasonable service unto the Lord. But Psalm 106, verse 39, please listen. If you didn't hear anything I have said, I want you to hear this. Psalm 106, verse 39, the Bible says, thus were they defiled with their own works and went a-whoring with their own inventions. The Spirit of the Lord expressly said to me that many of us, we have our own inventions, and that is what we are pursuing. We are no longer following Christ, but we are following our own inventions. And then what we do is, we coat it, we color it with the blood of Jesus. Amen? There's a lot of entertainment in the church that is welcome. But church is not about entertainment. Church is not about entertainment. So there's so many things that we do in church today, we just coat it with the blood. We call in Jesus' name, and then it has to be all right. Please do not follow your own inventions. Please do not follow your own works. The Bible says they were defiled because of their own works. The Lord bless you.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.